You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Robert Murphy about removing spirits. Let's talk about when you use holy water or religious relics and such. Are they effective no matter what because you believe in them? Or does the party that you're using them on, essentially, for example, the holy water that was sprinkled on the woman, is it effective when she also believes in that system, when she's not possessed, as well? Do both parties have to have that belief system in place for the relics to be effective?
I don't believe most of the time when somebody's affected that they're ready for it. When somebody comes under attack, I don't believe at that point that their faith is really as high as it should be. And that's the belief system is really the word faith.
Yeah.
You know, I can do all kinds of physical with the sage and whatnot, but there's also mentally there's a whole nother level going on because it's a matter of how you walk into something. I'm walking in with plenty of faith. I don't believe I can ever, you know, something's going to be able to hurt me. Don't get me wrong. There's something that can push everybody's button. I'm not saying I'm Superman or anything like that. Don't claim to be. Mm-hmm. But I go in with this attitude that, you know, I believe in God. I believe in a higher power, and I believe he's definitely got my six. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm of God's love. You mess with me, you're messing with God, and that gives me my strength to go in. So even though a lot of people don't initially start with the faith, I believe they build the faith up really quickly when they see that, number one, you're confident in what you're doing, not cocky, arrogant, or anything like that, but you give them information, and you can tell them, you can give them valid information to a point that they can see it actually for themselves, how it relates. It's like saying, okay, look, you know, you got in touch with me. They've got a really bad location and it really is bad. And I would go ahead and tell you ahead of time, look, now that you got in touch with me, expect the activity to pick up a little bit, but that's okay. It's just like a little kid throwing a fit because now he wants to scare you off. It wants to scare you off, whatever. And so when the activity happens, they're like, he knew what he was talking about because there it is. And start picking up. And then if you, again, you have to, there's a lot of seeds to plant. You know, the faith is the biggest thing as far as the belief. I go into locations, I don't care if they're, you know, it's a Muslim family. Is it going to work? Absolutely. Doesn't matter. I'm just using that as an example.
Sure. Yeah, I wonder about that because the question would be, does the essentially the ceremony, if you will, or the act of exercising, does it have to match up with the belief system of those that are asking for the ceremony of the exorcism to be performed? Would it, if it were, for like you said, an example, a Muslim family or insert religious belief system here, essentially, does it have to stick within the confines of the religious system of who's performing the exorcism, believing in that system of religion, just as the individuals who are being exorcised?
And in that case, you know, it really does not. You know, we're so big on, in our minds, we put all these blocks up and these barriers, and
yeah,
we try to think, you know, it's all inside the box. But on the higher level, no, it doesn't matter what their religious, their honest religious opinions are.
Mm-hmm.
When this is applied, it has worked.
It's just universal.
Whether they believe in God or not, whatever religion they are, it's worked in each case.
Okay. Are religious relics and things of that nature, let's say you have a very active haunting, but it's not something that is necessarily, you know, quote unquote, demonic or something that never walked the earth. It's quite literally Aunt Harriet, who choked on Skittles back in 1988 at the family barbecue, and she's still hanging out watching the damn Weather Channel, making sure we don't get rain for the 4th of July. 1988. But it's not residual. She's conscious. She's there. Are religious relics needed to exorcise someone like that? Is that an exorcism type thing when the new owners, this isn't their Aunt Harriet, that was four owners ago, but she's still there, and it's troubling enough to the family that they just don't want her there anymore? When you exercise that, is that a different process than exercising something that is dark and is out to cause a problem, not just to be kind of poltergeisty? And why the hell does the Weather Channel keep coming on all the time?
Absolutely, it does not. Yes, those type of artifacts or relics are not going to, you know, you cannot go in with a cross to go ahead and get rid of her at that point. That's really not going to do this.
Yeah.
Most of the time, what I've got a phrase for it's grumpy ghost syndrome is what I've started phrasing as far as for these locations where you have an active spirit energy in a house. What's the most common denominator you hear on all these stories when somebody starts talking? What did the new homeowners or whoever just moved in, what did they start doing? As soon as they start remodeling,
they started
changing anything.
Yeah, started hearing things, seeing things in that nature.
So as soon as they start changing, making changes, this person gets upset.
Yeah.
With some of the most common EVPs we get out, leave.
Yep. Yeah.
When do we go ghost hunting? You know, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. If I walk into your house at that time, what are you going to tell me?
Sure. Leave.
Hey, you want coffee or are you going to be hollering, get out, leave?
Exactly.
Too often we have the wrong perspective, I honestly believe. You know, sometimes, like you say, you've got somebody who's lived in that house. To them, it's still their house.
Mm-hmm.
You start making changes, they're going to get upset. Maybe they want you to stop. So maybe they'll try to create some type of noise or move something to try to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stop, they escalate a little bit. In those situations, realistically, it's a dialogue that you can actually have with people in that situation, or spirits, however you want to say it. It's more dialogue.
Yeah.
Everybody on the other side doesn't honestly know how they present themselves. Had a case at one point. I don't mean to take up too much of your time.
No, but you're fine.
Real quick. Great illustration. We had a location where there was two little girls sleeping in a room. They shared a room. One of them was always terrified of the monster. Always terrified of the monster. So the parents call us. We go there. And this is actually with the team that I was on for a couple months. I was filming in one room and one of the young ladies that was there, she's sensitive, she has abilities, and she goes, oh my gosh, I'm seeing this man, he's on fire, he's outside working on a car and he catches fire and dies. And the homeowner wife says, oh my God, that was his best friend, he died outside. The weeks later, we're speed up weeks later after that. So that's part of what happened. That's the main thing that you need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
We were headed over to this location for the review. And the same woman that saw that little video clip says, turn back towards the back seat, towards me. And she says, Rob, I'm telling you, this little girl, I keep seeing this little girl drawing a picture for us. And she's going to use red, orange, and yellow. So we get to the house. When we first get to the house, our founder turns around and says, you know, team lead, whatever, says, okay, well, here's a CD, you know, go ahead and check it out. And if you have any questions, hit us up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hey, can we just hang out for a little bit and actually talk about this? Because to me, I don't want to walk away from a client that's just sitting there bewildered.
Sure.
They're dealing with issues. They want to talk about it. So her little kids start coming in, the two little girls. So anytime I go to a location that has kids living or not, or on the other side, I always sit down on the floor. That way it's not an intimidation thing. So I sit down on the floor, and then the kids get real friendly. They get up next to us, and one of them brings in all her colored pencils. I don't know, like 120 of them. She ends up drawing us a picture. Picture with three colors, red, orange, and yellow. I'm like, how in the heck did she come out with this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what she draws is a man on fire.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman outside, the homeowner's best friend that burned up, the little girl seen at night. So I said, guys, can you guys just stay right here? I go upstairs and I just have a conversation in the empty room. What we have to do is, you know, I don't have abilities. So if my medium's telling me somebody's there, there's a kid there, there's a dog there, I start role playing. I have to assume they're there and just go at it that way. I explain to him, he can't go ahead and be showing himself anymore like that to this little girl. She sees a monster. She doesn't know it's him. She's never had that issue again. Girl wasn't there. She didn't hear me say it. The little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say it's a placebo effect. There's something to it.
Sure.
That's just one out of so many stories.
That's interesting because it almost, you know, this is the man's best friend that died. His intention certainly would not be to scare his friend's daughter night after night out the window.
Right.
So it sounds almost, would you say, was that a residual haunting that she was witnessing time after time?
No. It's he doesn't know that he's showing, he doesn't know the little girl can see him in his death form. So he's
okay.
Dead by burning up.
Yeah.
The little girl can see him basically like a burnt person.
Okay.
Monster.
Okay. So she is seeing, she's not necessarily witnessing him going over the car
flame.
And the flames.
Right.
This is the, so essentially the form, his death form is the his body after the accident. And that brings up a whole other, you know, conversation of questions right there is, and it's obviously opinion based, but where,
sure.
when we get to the death form view, sometimes we have stories where the conscious entity is looking like their 28-year-old self and they died when they were 84. And then sometimes we have this, the guy who died in the backyard and burned alive, and he's showing up as a burned corpse. Is there choice involved as far as how you're showing yourself to the living? Because it seems someone made a choice to go back and look like they're 28, and the other is looking like they just, you know, burned alive. Why is it that in some cases it's like the best version of oneself, and then the other is literally the worst moment of their life, and that's how they're stuck presenting themselves to the living if they're being seen?
I absolutely believe that over time they can learn how to. And again, this is just coming based on the information that I have a great medium again, and working with other very, very fantastic medium psychics through conversation. Just because when somebody passes to the other side, they can't automatically walk through a door. They can't automatically do, you know, make things move. Different people will learn how to manipulate their energy
mm-hmm.
to make different things happen. Not everybody can do the same thing. Over time, do I think some people can learn to show themselves or present themselves in a better form of, you know, when they were what they consider their prime? Absolutely.
Okay.
My medium in particular, you know, she sees things. She got to a point where she was seeing things constantly. She's been doing it for 40 years. And as a youth, she was seeing it so often and seeing people in their death state and whatnot. And then finally she finally talked to her spirit guys. She's like, you know, please don't show them, you know, don't show me them in their death state anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So she does not typically see anything in that situation.
What is more difficult to help a family out with and remove from a home? A cantankerous human spirit who, you know, loved their house and they're still there and they don't like the remodel that's going on. They don't appreciate the mix of farmhouse and modern together. They liked their old look. Or a dark entity that you know, quite often you need religious relics to fight off.
The definitely, in all reality, the dark entity is going to be the worst as far as either demonic or an actual entity. To me, it has been the most challenging out of all of them can be the Native American energy. And I don't consider that to be evil or negative in the sense, but mm-hmm. the Native Americans were definitely tied in very tightly with the spirits.
Sure.
And you can get shapeshifters that can be... They are even harder to deal with because I don't come across them nearly as much, so I don't have as much history with them. You know, it's when you're dealing with demonic or you're dealing with entities, it's a learning process. They've been learning us forever, so sure. You just have to be open-minded and learn it. Definitely the negative has a little bit more challenge because it doesn't always happen when we get to the location, that's fine. We can go ahead and work on it, but there's activity that happens prior to that or can happen prior to that. You can have a very, believe if you know, again, and this is up to everybody's interpretations or beliefs, but there are a higher level demon that can actually reach out from the location miles and miles, hundreds of miles, and actually try to intimidate somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened in a couple of our cases.
Is there ever a case where the human spirit just... it's not going to leave it no matter how much you try and reason with it and you say, look, you're scaring the kids. Nobody wants to live here anymore. Please help these living people find some peace. Either you be here quietly and peacefully, or please leave. Is there ever the cases where it's just, no, they're not leaving. It's nothing demonic. It's just, you know, the former owner was an asshole, essentially,
right.
And is very
right.
Stuck in his ways. Is that ever a thing?
I believe that in some cases, whatever was there has remained there and has just gone quiet because that's one of the options they're given right away.
Mm-hmm.
Is, look, you can, if as long as the owners don't know that you're here, they don't see you, feel you, anything of your presence. You know, and I'm talking with the owners prior to this and laying it out how I'm proceeding. And as long as the owners are fine with it, and in their mind, it's as long as they don't know that it's there, well, they don't care.
Sure.
And in that sense, I'm sure that some of these have stayed in their location. That wouldn't surprise me, at least. The ones that have, I've never had a situation where the clients have experienced it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
The clients are typically, that's the biggest fear is, you're going to come in, you're going to upset it. It might get quiet while you're here, but once you're gone or after a week, it's going to come back with a vengeance.
Sure.
That's the hardest part, too.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder about, is why do they have to follow those rules? I mean, it's almost like here's an example. When you're on social media and you post something 100% factual, it's backed up in 100 different sources, the sky is blue, you know, because the sky is blue is such a controversial political statement, and Uncle Larry, no matter what you say, is going to have some sort of adverse view to that and then spin it 50 different ways as to why that's not true. It's like that. It's like, no, this is just a simple fact. This is, you know, please, you know, why do they have to follow what you say? People in life don't follow or acknowledge simple facts out there. Why would the dead have to follow the request of please shut up and not just, you know, say, well, thank you for the request, but no, I disagree. I like to do what I do. Is there something there? I mean, is there essentially, in your belief, is there a group of rules, if you will, for the deceased that they kind of have to operate by, you know, in order to survive, whether it be a demand of the living on them or something of the sort?
Yeah, my honest opinion is that, in my honest belief is certainly that those that are on the physical side, the physical realm, however you want to put it,
mm-hmm.
definitely have the rights to the location. And are there rules out there? again, I know it sounds far-fetched. It's no different than dealing with the demonic energy. There are rules.
Okay.
I know that sounds crazy as all, but it's like a demon cannot show itself in the perfect human form.
Sure. Sure.
And so you're always, when we get into a situation like that, first thing we're looking for is trying to find out what is, you know, if there's something wrong with that particular form, if they're showing themselves to our medium or whoever.
Yeah.
So if it's going to happen with a demon, why wouldn't it be something with a human spirit?
Okay.
I mean, how many times have we been out in the field and we turn around? Because there's also a belief that there's, are they even allowed to communicate with us? Is, you know, have you ever heard of the gatekeeper theory?
No, I've not.
Where we can be talking and having a very active session. I mean, and when I'm talking active session, I'm looking for specific responses. So I'm using a spirit box in particular so you can hear real time. Obviously, EVPs, you have to go back and review. If I'm using the spirit box, which I like to use, I'm going as fast as I can, 10, 14 stations a second. And I start out with, so I'm looking for specifics. So what is my name? I'm not introducing myself. What is my name? Okay, I get Robert. Okay, bright name. What color is my shirt? I get black. Okay, I'm proudly talking to somebody now because it's got the right color shirt and it's got my, so if somebody sees me, you know, knows where I'm at. And you start having this interaction going on very hot and heavy, and all of a sudden everything goes dead quiet. And then when that happens, it happens from time to time. When it happens, there's a very clear, stern voice that will come through that just will tell you to shut up, leave, or, and even introduce, they'll give their name. First name, but all activity after that ceases. So I do believe there's some type of controls, I mean, on the other side, if you will.
Yeah, and you know, and maybe rules is the wrong word for it. Maybe, you know, it's like saying, well, one of the rules for living is inhaling and exhaling. You know, maybe there are things just as important on the other side as inhaling and exhaling that have to be followed in order to have energy, in order to continue on with what they want. And if they don't, then there will be consequences to pay. In closing, one more question about residual hauntings. When we're talking about a conscious entity or a demonic spirit, those things, you know, that's where the world of reasoning and religious relics and things of that nature kind of come into play. And it makes sense, you know, as what we talk about does make sense. Where you can find ways of moving something on, moving something out. But when it's residual, and essentially there's nothing really to communicate with, is there a way to put the mute button on a residual haunting? I mean, to me, when I look at that, it's almost like trying to have an argument with a DVD, you know, or something on television. It's like, you can say all you want, it's not going to hear you. It's on tape. It's playing over and over. It's as sensible as my dad screaming at a football game when I was a child. It's like, they're not going to hear you. What are you doing? You know, is there anything that can be done with residual hauntings other than, you know, moving an object or getting rid of whatever the thing may be attached to?
No, I honestly don't believe, I've not come across it. If there is, I'm just not knowledgeable on it yet, because again, it's a event that's already happened. It's trapped in the environment. I had a house that had a tree fall on it 2 years prior. And then all of a sudden when the renters were there, it sounded like a truck crashing into their house. Well, it was the same sound replaying. How do you turn that off? Good luck. Without moving the house or changing something of the structure, you know, it's the sound's been embedded into that environment, and you know, when the conditions are right, it replays itself.
And that's,
I've not found a way to mute it.
That's so interesting. I mean, we're talking about a tree and a house. We're not even talking about people. We're not talking about, you know, a life, a conscious life. It is 100% objects. It's like, does the tree make noise when it falls in the forest? It's that sort of thing. What is that? I mean, obviously we don't have a scientific explanation, but what is your belief on something like that? Where is this sound trapped? How is it replaying itself? There's nothing conscious that's sitting there pressing the play button, it almost feels like there should be something pressing the play button.
I get it. And that's why I say the biggest explanation I have for it is I say when the environmental conditions are right.
Yeah.
Do I know what those environmental conditions are? Nah. You know, and I'm not talking environmental conditions being like humidity or something. And you know, at certain times of the years, the doors will swing open a lot easier because, you know, the humidity, so everything's so dry, everything shrinks. But in these cases, and again, you can have complete, it's no different than an EVP. Everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the energy stored and what's making it release at that particular time?
Sure.
And I don't have the answer to that one, honestly.
Do residual hauntings ever lose their energy? Does it ever, like, is it like a battery where, you know, it'll keep replaying until it's dead, you know, but you could always recharge it, I guess.
You know, because it can happen and we don't know each situation, how would you actually be able to know? I mean,
sure.
You hear people always, the most common ones we have, you know, somebody say, well, I could hear the boots or the footsteps going up the stairs at night. I always hear them in the evening time, always at night. You know, how many people have reported that? My God, over and over.
Yeah.
But unless you stay at that location for however long, how would you know?
Sure. Sure.
Today it's a cloudy day. Tomorrow it's a sunny day. Am I going to have the same? Is the energy going to be the same? Tomorrow, we, you know, have a thunderstorm, and now we know there's a lot of electric in the air. Maybe that's when we catch it, only when we have electrical storms. I couldn't tell you.
So the best practice, if somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'm, you know, it's one thing if you can say, you know, I got this old chest from Aunt Edna, and now I'm having the same thing happen all the time over and over and over. It's residual. I mean, that's an easy one to say, well, move the chest or get rid of the chest, and then boom, it stops. When someone would come to you with something like that of, I hear the footsteps on this set of stairs every single day, you know, it seems to be residual. Is what would your answer be if they truly want to get rid of it?
Well, first is finding, well, if they want to, if it's residual, is making sure the clients understand that residual is not, they're doing their own damage to themselves. They're freaking themselves out the most.
Sure.
It's all in their, it's not all in their head. They're hearing it, but it's their imagination making the best of it. It's just basically a movie playing. And when you, knowledge is power. When you can explain to people and break it down so they know, hey, it's not an active ghost running around going to hurt them, because everything on the internet is, you know,
of course,
doom and gloom. And,
and but that, at the same point, yes, knowledge is power, but most people are not big fans of knowledge. So.
Correct. You got that right.
So, I mean, would it, with something like that, would it be, well, if that's truly, and if they can't come to terms with the acceptance of, look, you're freaking yourself out more than anything, this is going to keep happening, but it's nothing threatening. But if you truly want this gone, if the, you really, really, really need this gone, is it literally, well, call a contractor and rip those stairs out and put new wood in?
Yeah, and again, there's not even, you can't even get to that point to say that that's going to happen, because they rebuilt the house.
Yeah.
Where the tree had smashed into the top floor of it, and
sure,
yet the sound is all the same.
It's almost in the atmosphere itself, in the physical,
yes.
Not necessarily the items or the objects, meaning the wood construction of the house. It's just in the ether. It's in the air, in that physical area that it may be attached to.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, again, I mean, the house is the perfect example. Okay, you've changed the structure of the house now, but yet you're still having the same sound. Is it going to happen every 2 years? Is it going to happen every 6 months? Couldn't tell you. But there's no way to actually stop that. Not that I'm aware of. If I learn something later on, I'm always willing to learn.
Yeah.
Again, to your point, as far as being an expert, you're right. I don't believe in experts. I believe some of us are more seasoned. We're very seasoned.
Yep.
But we're still got to be learning.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Robert Murphy about removing spirits. Thank you guys for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We could not do this show without you. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Thank you.